Welcome to the Celtics Journal Podcast, your normally weekly show covering the greatest team in the history of basketball, the Boston Celtics. But it's a bi-weekly show this week because we got Celtics-Nets playoff series. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well. I'm ready. I'm anchoring down for this big matchup against the Nets.
I'm glad to have you back on the show because, you know, it was nice having Mike, you know, Wizards guy on, but I'm glad that was a one-time thing and we don't have to talk playing anymore.
Yeah.
It's glad to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. The show last week was good, though. It was great to have Mike on there to actually talk about a game that he knows a lot about. So it was a good show.
Yeah, we were both kind of right on the Ish Smith.
Yeah, that didn't go very well.
He did kind of kill us for a little bit, but it was nice that Brad kind of made some adjustments.
Yeah, second half was okay. Once he put Romeo on him, it was all good. Peyton Pritchard got destroyed, and then he never saw the court again, but that's okay.
But Tatum was just ridiculous, man. He's just unbelievable. We say it every week, but he's our MVP of the week.
Pretty much every week, and he deserves
every
it.
He's week. Been
those 50-point games are starting to become the norm.
Yeah, I know, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to see him going for those numbers again pretty much the rest of the way.
Yeah, like we saw Bradley Beal comment on Tatum and just how he knew he was that guy, and he's been trying to tell him that he is that guy for years. Yeah. And like now it seems like he gets it.
Yeah, it does seem like he's catching on to that. Like usually when that kind of thing happens, especially with the relationship that those two have, I just think that they're usually hyping up their friend.
Yeah.
I don't think that's really the case here, though.
Yeah. Now, at this point, you can't look at it as just hype.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the man he's ascended to superstardom, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think that's just an opinion amongst Celtics fans anymore. That's just, you see somebody dropping 50 points like once a week.
Mm-hmm. I've actually seen Sixers fans compliment Jason Tatum. And
that's when you know.
It's great. Yeah, no, that's when
you
know.
It becomes so undeniable that Sixers fans are even on board.
There's some level of salt to it, but
I mean,
at the end of the day, it's a compliment.
Yeah.
But let's jump into the Celtics-Nets series. So game one, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens with the Nets' three best players because the Celtics are going to have to key in on one, at least one. And we're fortunate that we do have one of the best defenders in Marcus Smart. So I wanted to start it off with who you wanted to key in on. Like which of the big three in Brooklyn would you like to key in on in this series?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily just keying in on one of them. I think we have the ability to slow down probably two of their three, at least a little bit. But if I had to pick one, it would be James Harden.
Yeah, I agree. I think Marcus Smart should be on Harden. But
yeah.
Cause I honestly think you're just going to have to live with KD. He's like Tatum where he's just a bad man. And offensively, like he'll get his shot because he shoots over everybody.
I think the person you live with is probably Kyrie. You try do your best to make it so he's the one that you live and die by. And I don't mean that to be insulting to Kyrie, but honestly, he's not as important as the other two guys.
So you kind of think it's like not empty offense, but kind of like he usually will go for 30, 35 against the Celtics. So like you kind of just have to expect that and then limit the other guys that.
Yeah, this really just shows you how potent the Nets offense is because I'm not trying to insult Kyrie. We know how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
But James Harden is the guy who just kind of adjusted his play style to fit this team, and he's now kind of the engine that makes their offense go, or at least takes it to an unreal level. And then there's also KD, who comes in and is one of the most efficient scorers, the most talented scorers of all time. So just the fact that they have those two guys means we have to kind of live with what Kyrie does because that we just don't have anybody to defend him. If we have to put Marcus Smart on James Harden, like you said.
Yeah, and I think it's all, I mean, Marcus Smart's not going to be on James Harden all game. Like, there's going to be multiple switches. And that's one thing that's going to be very demoralizing for the Celtics, and it's going to be a run killer. So, like, if we're, you know, if we're down 10 and all of a sudden we start hitting some shots and now we're down 4, and then they start switching KD onto Kemba, now all of a sudden that's a 13-point lead again, and we're down.
Yeah, that's one of the big.
That's going to be something we're going to have to watch out for, and Brad Stevens making the right adjustments there is going to be crucial.
Yeah, usually
stealing a game.
Usually the Celtics switch a lot because they have the personnel to do it. Now it's like they have two guys in Jason Tatum on KD and Marcus Smart on James Harden. They just have those two guys that really can hold their own at least. Mm-hmm. So if the Nets want to kind of put more pressure on the Celtics, they're going to go for switches, or they're going to try to drive to the hoop to get those guys in foul trouble, because if the Celtics don't have those guys available, or they have to take them out of the game for extended periods of time, the game will be over by the time they come back in. It will be a couple minutes. The Nets could just go on these huge runs, and the Celtics won't be able to counter it. They don't have the firepower to catch up.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of offense, that's for sure. So, like, one of the biggest questions is going to be who takes Kyrie, who takes Harden, who takes KD. We definitely don't have the guys to take all of them. Like, if we had Jaylen Brown, it'd be a slightly different story. I think we'd be definitely having a different conversation.
Yeah, I think this is the matchup that we're going to miss Jaylen Brown the most.
Yeah.
We needed his defense. We needed his length, especially because we have, like we said, two defenders. We need that third to go up against their big three.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, we're going to miss his scoring, too. That kind of moves everybody up one spot on the depth chart and how important they are. So,
yeah, and then even outside of the big three, then you got to worry about Landry Shamet, Joe Harris, even, like, you know, Jeff Green for us he's always given us some problems just because he knows us. He likes to give us a little.
He's been good for them. Run. He's been a good small ball five kind of for them throughout the season. That's probably something the Celtics have to worry about too. But
while playing in small ball lineups,
yeah, they do. I think that's probably what they do best. If they get out and they're running and they get themselves in rhythm, then they get teams in a lot of trouble. And I honestly think that's where we're gonna end up missing Rob a lot. But I'm curious what you think if there is an advantage for the Celtics throughout the series. Where do you think it is?
I think if there is any advantage, it's probably in that it kind of sounds dumb, but we don't have the big three problem of like whose turn is it. I mean, we kind of have the one guy in the Jason Tatum show, and if he's putting up 50. And then, you know, you have your consistent Kemba with, you know, 28, 29, then that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think we can compete in that aspect, but it's a matter of, like, because I think we can compete with them offensively. It's just a matter of making the shots. And Fournier has to be consistent. Kemba has to be consistent. So everything just has to go well for us. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know if we necessarily have an edge anywhere.
See.
Unless Robert Williams is fully healthy. But I mean, I said it on Twitter, he should have been shut down. No playing game for him. Rest him as much as he could. But
yeah, I honestly thought that was an overreaction, but it turns out you were right. So I'll give you your props.
Turf toe is no joke.
No, it's not, and you were right. I can admit when I was wrong.
No, but seriously, like, Time Lord, if he is healthy, I think he can really expose those small ball bigs like Jeff Green, Blake Griffin, even like Bruce Brown when he gets thrown in there. Like, I think it's easy for him, like a rim runner, to expose that and really open up the game for us. But then, like I said, everything else would have to fall into play where everything else is consistent. And we haven't seen that all season at all from this team.
Yeah, in a world where Robert Williams is fully healthy, he would destroy Blake Griffin, for example, in this matchup. Blake's kind of anchored to the ground now. And if you add some Robert Williams, who can kind of fly and add the that vertical spacing, then they would be in a lot of trouble there. But it's still in the modern NBA, your advantage being your big man is not ideal.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't disagree with that, but I think the fact that Rob is, if he's gonna play in that first game, he's gonna be playing through an injury. Mm-hmm. That turns, and then your next option is Tristan Thompson probably. I don't think this is a good Tristan Thompson matchup. So that goes from an advantage to an immediate disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Where I think what we just talked about with small ball.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tristan Thompson's gonna be as effective with guys like Jeff Green and Bruce Brown at the four or the five, and he has to take them.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, if he gets pulled out to the three-point line, it's going to be open season for anyone who wants to drive in.
See, he might try to post up Jeff Green,
which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. It has to result into like Tristan bullying them. Like, we have to go 2015, 2016 Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, I mean, if it's just on offense that he's posting, mm-hmm. and then he's posting up Jeff Green, I think the Nets live with that if we can mm-hmm. continuously go with it. If that's just not a way to run your offense anymore. But if Jeff Green ends up giving up a bunch of offensive boards and putbacks, then they might make a little bit of a change. But I don't think Tristan will do very well on defense if we have to play him a lot of minutes.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of different guys coming off the bench from the Celtics to defend, because I think we're going to need those, those 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", guys like Romeo, Nesmith, Grant Williams, you might even see. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to need those guys to kind of come through and take some of the pressure off of guys like Kemba Pritchard.
Tristan Thompson third.
Yeah,
I think this is actually a matchup for Grant Williams, but the way that he played especially at the end of the season, he made himself almost unplayable. So we're going to need him, and he's not. And the way it looked, he's not going to come through.
I mean, there was like two or three of his last five or six games where he had like 10, 11 points, and he looked like he was kind of coming into it. But again, I've been preaching it all season that Grant Williams is his effectiveness, it relies on rhythm and like consistent playing time. And like you said, he's kind of made himself unplayable at times, but that kind of also falls into, the rise of Naismith, giving Pritchard a little bit more minutes here and there. So it really is, for him, it's just a matter of rhythm. So if we don't see him in this series, that's fine. But if there are a bunch of blowout games, I would like to see a lot of, Romeo Langford and Grant Williams. I would like to see them develop in these playoffs.
Yeah, that would be nice, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not from the if we're getting blown out standpoint. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that gives me hope with Grant Williams for this series is because he's going to be able to play small ball five, which is what he is easily best at.
Yeah, that's his role. That's his role. His supposed position he's supposed to play. Like mm-hmm. he's a big, he's a small big, but that's his role. He's like that Draymond Green type player.
Yeah, but this is also kind of part of the Celtics' problem, because we're talking about Grant Williams like he's somebody that we should be relying on.
Well, I know. That's the problem. And that results from the Robert Williams turf toe.
Yeah.
Which probably could have been a little, not prevented, but it could have been at least mitigated.
The Celtics, yeah. I mean, it could have. But either way, the Celtics are just way too thin, and that's been a problem all season. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to show up more than ever in this series.
Go ahead. Who's your starting five for this series for the Celtics?
Are we assuming Rob is playing?
We'll assume he's playing, or at least starting.
Or okay.
Able to start.
So.
Because you can have Tristan.
In that case, then you just go Kemba, Kemba, Fournier, Jason Tatum, Rob, and Marcus Smart.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that.
I think that would have been a conversation to be had, maybe if the Celtics were fully healthy. Mm-hmm. But with how thin they are right now, there are only five guys that you can choose from. And if Rob's not there, then you put interest in Thompson, even though that's not something you would really want to do.
Yeah.
But he's really the only choice we have if Rob's not starting or playing.
Who do you have guarding everybody then? Who takes Kyrie? Let's start with that.
Kyrie is an interesting case. Because like we said, Marcus will be on Harden. Tatum will probably be on Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to throw a bunch of people at Kyrie and see what sticks and who's having a good game or whatever it may be. Because you could throw guys like Evan Fournier on him, who's not a lockdown defender. Kemba Walker on him, who's not a lockdown defender. He's good on the perimeter. He's fine on the perimeter, but it's still Kyrie Irving. So he's going to get by him. He's going to get his. You could try to throw a little bit more length on him with Romeo Langford. But you're just going to have to hope that he's missing shots, basically.
Yep. But you have to hope that he's missing shots for more than four games.
Yeah, I want Evan Fournier to do well on him so then you can kind of hide Kemba on Joe Harris.
Yep.
And then match up the bigs with Tristan Thompson and whoever they decide to start.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say Kemba Walker on Joe Harris or Landry Shamet.
Yep.
Whoever the guy is. And then you just, like, you got to tell Kemba, just, this is your assignment. Don't screw it up. Mm-hmm. Like, just hound him. Make sure he doesn't get going. Make sure he doesn't kill us with 22.
But I don't want it to be understated how much we're asking.
We're asking a lot of everybody.
Of everybody, yeah. That's what we're gonna need. We're expecting Tatum to come in and drop like 40-plus points and defend Kevin Durant.
I mean, Tatum versus KD is going to be a show regardless. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an offensive show. And defensively, we'll see. I'm going to really love to see Tatum in those situations.
Yeah, I think it'll be great to watch. But the thing that I'm worried about is Tatum could come out and score like 40, 50 points. Kemba could come out and score 30. In the there's a scenario there where the Celtics still lose by like 20.
Yeah, I know. And that's the scary part about this Brooklyn team, because they just have so much offense.
Because since Jaylen got hurt, what we've seen is Tatum going off or getting 30-plus points pretty regularly. Kemba's been playing actually really well. But the rest of the team rarely hits double digits. Like, any individual player hits double digits for points.
Yeah, that comes down to Evan Fournier. Like, he has to be Orlando Fournier.
Mm-hmm. He's got to be 21 a game. Yeah, he's got to be up in that 20-25 points a game range for the Celtics to even have a puncher's chance. And then whatever Marcus has. He has to replace
the offensive, production of Kemba Walker when Jaylen Brown was in.
Mm-hmm.
But then Marcus Smart is going to have to take, Evan Fournier's, 17 that he could put up. And then we're going to have that other guy, the fifth guy. Can't just have 8. He's got to have 15 or more.
Yeah, probably. But what I'm thinking is if Tatum can score like 35.
Mm-hmm.
Kemba scores between like 28 to 30 range. And Fournier can come in and hit 20 to 25. I'm feeling a lot more comfortable. The Celtics might not win. Celtics might win a game if that happens. But it will be close. It'll be a fight. Which I hate to be at the point where just begging for a fight is what I'm looking forward to.
Well, we are the 7 seed.
So. Yeah, but it doesn't feel like it really, because we shouldn't be. Or I guess it does feel like it, but we still shouldn't be the 7 seed. As much as I hate that we ended up with the short straw facing the Nets, we deserved it. It's the way we played all season, and that might just be, or some of it might be, the COVID cases that we had on the team, the time missed, not really getting everybody to play together for extended periods of time, injuries to Marcus Smart. It could be circumstances, but I mean, that happens. The Celtics got hit a little bit harder, but it happens.
I think, yeah, what you just said, like the Celtics got hit a little bit harder than a lot of teams. I wouldn't say that they were hit the most, but they were probably in like the top five or six teams in the league where like their season could have been over, but they found a way to at least sneak into the play-in, you know, win a game against the Wizards, and now they're up against the freaking Brooklyn Nets, like one of the greatest teams ever assembled. Like it's gonna take a lot.
Yeah,
and well, I don't think anyone is expecting them to win in four games or even five or even six.
No, I don't think so.
I think
so
the
either,
expectation
but...
is Celtics in seven at best. At best, but
yeah, I don't know if I'd even mention that as an at best. Because I just don't see a scenario where that happens. I don't mean to be negative, but that's where I'm at. I'm just hoping for a fight where they don't get blown out every game.
Right.
I can't imagine what would happen going into the offseason. Sorry to cut you off, but...
No, you're good.
I can't even imagine what would happen in the offseason if the Celtics get blown out by 20 every single game and the starters for the Nets don't even need to play in the fourth quarter. Like, they might because
it's
the playoffs.
That's going to be interesting. Like, there's kind of levels to this series where if we get blown out, like you said, four games in a row by 20, there's probably going to be, you know, conversations about, you know, guys like Evan Fournier, Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker, like, what is their role with the team moving forward? But I think if it's kind of closer, where maybe it is still four-game sweep, but they were, you know, 4 or 5-point games, like, I think that there's less of a conversation to be had, where Jalen comes back into slide in here, you know, we re-sign Evan Fournier, and maybe, you know, we run it back and we have a puncher's chance next year.
Yeah, I don't think there's a scenario here where you come out of the series thinking, all right, just a bad season, let's run it back. There's going to be changes. It's just a matter of how big of a change or changes that need to happen. But Evan Fournier has a lot at stake, I feel like, in terms of his next contract, because he's not really playing that well recently. And if he balls out in the playoffs, he could make it a no question. He's worth re-signing. And worth re-signing at a solid number. But that's his own personal battle.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to talk more about Evan Fournier in maybe the next episode. Mm-hmm. Talk about his contract situation and everything. We'll break that down. But I wanted to jump into your biggest X factor for this series. For the Celtics. Like, who's the Celtics X factor? Like, obviously Jason Tatum is... supposed to be, he's our number one, so we're not going to worry about him. Who's, other than that, who is your X factor?
Yeah, I think there's a strong case for maybe, like, you could say Kemba if you wanted to, but I mean, I wouldn't. I'm just saying, because if he, I'm assuming he's going to show up.
Yeah, because just like Tatum,
he didn't play back to backs for this exact purpose, to come into the playoffs and be good. And honestly, if he's not good, then there's really no point in discussing it, really, because the Celtics will get absolutely annihilated if he's not approaching 30 every night. So if I'm talking about kind of really unknown and who makes the biggest difference, I've got to go with Evan Fournier. Because like what we talked about is if Kemba scores 30, Tatum scores 35, 40, the Celtics could still lose that game because no one else is scoring. But if Fournier comes in and can drop north of 20, then they at least, like we said, have a puncher's chance. And the volatility that he's shown throughout the season makes me think I have no idea what I'm going to get out of him. So, but he has shown me that he can drop 20, between 20 and 30 points. I just need him to do it for multiple games in a row. And he hasn't been able to do that yet. But if he does, then the Celtics can really give the Nets a hard time. So who do you... Wait, do you agree with that? Or do you think there's another person that I'm missing?
Well, so I agree with how Evan Fournier needs to be consistent. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that he could be the X factor, along with, you know, Kemba, or like maybe even Marcus.
Yeah, disregard Kemba. Kemba doesn't count.
Yeah. Maybe Marcus Smart offensively as an X factor. Like if, you know, he somehow puts up, you know, 6 or 7 threes a game, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'd love to see that. But I think the X factor is a healthy Robert Williams.
Okay. I could see a case for it. Make your case.
I really just think because of, like, if he's healthy, we're going to have, like I said earlier, we're going to have the rim runner who can abuse the small ball bigs, hopefully. Because he's athletic enough where he can kind of stick with those guys. And he's a shot blocker, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think if he is healthy, he will be able to turn the series in our, not in our favor, but turn the series out of blowouts every game.
Yeah, I like that. I think that he can kind of keep up with the Nets if they try to go a little bit smaller. And he also would be a difference maker in terms of his athleticism. So I like that. I like that. I think that would probably be one of the few advantages. I just don't think that he's going to be healthy. He really he looked like he was in so much pain against the Wizards until he came out. And he hasn't practiced. So I'm just nervous that he's not going to be there. If he was healthy, I agree with that. I just don't think that he would be good enough to win the Celtics the series. He might make it from a 20-point loss to like a 10-point loss. But I think with the volume that someone like Fournier, with what he adds on the offensive end, that can make it the difference between like a 20-point loss and
Maybe even a win.
Approaching it. Probably maybe like a 4-point loss, something like that. If he plays well. But I do like
that. I guess that brings us to the perfect point then. What do you think is going to happen with the series? Because let's go game by game. Game one, what happens?
I think it's going to be a close first half. I do.
Close first half, but we blow it?
We blow it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we blow it. It's going to be, and the second quarter is key in those times when Tatum sits. Do the Nets extend their lead to 20 points? Do they extend it to, is it close and all they can kind of muster up is 10, 12-point leads, and then Tatum comes back in and the Celtics make it interesting? That's the difference, and the Celtics have done that all season where they go periods of time without scoring, and they did it a little bit against the Wizards. Where when the Celtics kind of are dragging through a period of time, the Wizards pushed back, but the Celtics were able to weather that storm and ultimately win the game by a healthy margin. The only thing is, in those lulls, is that the Nets push a lot harder than
the
Wizards.
Yeah, the Nets aren't the Wizards.
Yeah, than the Wizards do. So the Wizards being able to push the lead out to, were they at 8 or 10 points at one point? Mm.
Yep.
The Nets push it out to 20, high teens, maybe more. And can the Celtics dig themselves out of that? Probably not. Probably not. So I'm going to go with, for game one, Celtics are going to keep it to like a 6-point game, first half. And then in the second half, the Nets are going to pull away to win by 15
point loss for game one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that game one, it's gonna be one of our only chances to steal a game.
Okay.
I think it's gonna be one of those games where the Celtics could come out and just punch the Nets in the mouth, and maybe they fall down and we win game one, but then the Nets will get back up and they'll kick our ass for four straight games and it's going to be a 5-game series.
Okay.
But I think in game one, I think you're right. I think it's going to be Celtics hang tight in the first half. You know, they fight back in the late third, but ultimately the Nets just go on an unreal fourth quarter run and we end up losing by like 10 or 12 points.
Okay.
Like my guess, my final score prediction would probably be like 105, maybe 93 or something like that.
But that's low.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting game one.
Okay, what I'm guessing is like 125 to 110. That's more than
which is more likely, definitely, because of the offense of the Nets, and like if we want to even compete, we're gonna have to hang tight. But I don't know why this game one just it sticks out to me mm-hmm. as like a defensive game, but also like something that. I don't know. Something we're gonna have fun watching the game regardless. I know like a lot of fans are gonna be kind of like negative in the fact that we're just gonna lose. We're gonna get swept. But I don't think that's gotta be the outlook. I think we can watch these games and take subtle wins, and move into the off season.
Yeah,
it's at least something to hang our hats on.
Yeah. So I have no expectations for the Celtics to win.
Mm-hmm.
But if they steal one of the first two games, then it becomes a little bit interesting. Not because I think they win the series, but because if you can show a flaw with the Nets a little bit and kind of just try to give them a run for their money, then you kind of go into the offseason feeling better.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the goal here, is just to kind of try to put pieces together and see where everything fits. But what do you think about game two? And I'm gonna base all my game predictions off of basically game one. So like everything that happens before, I'm just gonna base my next game off of.
Mm-hmm. So I'm with my prediction, Celtics losing by 15 in the first game. I don't think this game will be close. I think it would be kind of similar to the first game, but I think the Nets might pull away earlier. I don't think it gets really interesting until game three.
Yeah, I agree, actually. I think game two is kind of like a 20-point blowout, but not a blowout in the sense of like we just got clapped every single quarter,
mm-hmm.
but it was kind of like we lost that quarter by three, we lost that quarter by six, this one by five, and then this one by another like 5 or 6 points. Like I don't think it's going to be a bad 20-point loss. I think it's going to just be a 20-point loss.
Yeah, you're exactly. You're looking like the game is what it is. It doesn't have a lot of ups and I don't want to say it doesn't have ups and downs because it's going to have runs in it because it's an NBA basketball game.
Game of runs. Brad Stevens loves that quote.
Yep, but I like what you're saying. The game's going to be kind of uniform where start to finish, the Nets will outplay the Celtics slightly throughout, mm-hmm. and that slight amount that they outplay them by throughout the game is just going to add up, and you're going to see that reflected in the score, in the final score.
Yeah, but I think game three, I think we steal it. I think first home game in Boston for playoffs, I think the fans come out with some intensity, even if it's reduced, because I've heard some reports that they might be able to have full capacity by game four.
I don't know if they're going to be able to pull that off. But if they do, though, that would be great. But so you're saying the Celtics could steal game one and three?
I think it's like now. I think if they steal game one, they're going to get clapped the next four games.
Okay.
By the Nets. So but if they steal game three and series is 2-1 Nets, I think it's possible that, you know, game four is a little bit different, where we kind of actually hang tight all game long, and whether we win or lose, I think it's going to be game four is going to be a close game.
Yeah, I feel that way with game three. I think game three is going to be close. It's going to come down to the last few minutes. And KD is going to put us away. We're going to lose by like four. But that's going to be...
It's a safe play from Jeff. KD beats the Celtics.
Yeah. Even though I think Kyrie is going to have a lot of points, I think KD is going to come in and be that guy at the end where we see him take the shot for like the only person shooting for the last couple, like 3 to 5 minutes. Like he's going to be that dude.
Yeah, the fourth quarter takeover.
Yeah, he's just going to do it. Unless Tatum has something to say about it, I don't know. But I would love to see the Celtics steal that game. If they make it 2-1, then that's awesome. And then you have another home game, and you just kind of see what happens. But I'm going to guess that they lose again.
So you have three straight losses.
I'm not feeling good about this series. But I just want to see some fight after the two blowouts that I predicted.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I think what you just said is going to happen in game four.
Okay.
And that's the game we're going to lose. So I think we're going to have to head into game five with some fight left.
Mm-hmm. So I would actually be kind of surprised if it gets to a game five.
Really?
I hate to be that guy.
Dang. So you got us getting swept.
Yeah, I think, you know, the series that we had against the Pacers before we went on to get destroyed by the Bucks a while back. I think it could end up being kind of like that, where those games were pretty close, but it was still it's still a sweep. No one really remembers it as being close because it was still you got swept. But I think it could. I hope it would be like that. Worst case would be we get blown out in every game, but I think it being close would be a likely scenario. That's kind of what I hope. I think for me, best case scenario is the Celtics take it to six. But in terms of the within the realm of reality, that's as far as it could go for me.
Yeah, I mean, my hope is that we don't. Everybody's hope should be that we don't get beaten by 20 in four straight games, and we head into the off season with our heads, you know, in between our knees.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this team without Jaylen, it's going to be that next man up mentality, and we're going to have one of those kind of like not the, you know, the old Terry Rozier game, like against the Bucks.
Yeah, I loved that, and I loved seeing Terry go off way back when. But this season, what makes you think that the Celtics are a mentally tough basketball team?
I just think that we've been through so much, and at this point in the season, we are in the playoffs, and we always hear it like the playoffs are different. Like this is when the real players come out. Like yeah, we are playing KD, Kyrie, and Harden. So, I mean, and they're all great playoff performers. So it's going to be.
So yeah, I've
Harden less, but
yeah, I've been thinking that the Celtics could really come out in the playoffs and make some noise, or at least give a team a hard time in the second round. Because in the playoffs, the game slows down and your ISO players kind of go off a little bit more.
Yeah. Especially, I think if we were playing Philly, we would have a much better chance.
Yeah, especially because you get to plan out a little bit more. And so the individual talent of every player kind of shows a little bit more than it would in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I thought that we at least had a puncher's chance against anybody in the Eastern Conference except for the Brooklyn Nets, because their ISO players are better than ours. It's very rare where I'm going to say a team has better ISO players than the Celtics, because we have
Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum.
We have Jason Tatum on the team, exactly.
And Jaylen Brown, when he's healthy, he's not bad at ISO.
No, he's not. I have my issues with him, with his ISO ball, because I think he kind of has predetermined moves.
He does, yeah.
He has like...
He needs to work with Drew Hanlon a little bit.
Yeah, he's got like certain packages of or sets of moves, but that's a topic for another time.
So you think it's going to be four games sweep, right?
Yes, unless the only other thing that I could see happen, not the only, but my other prediction, I guess, would be that the Celtics win game four. When the series is already over.
Okay, so backs against the wall, you know, you get one.
Yeah, let's just show something before we go into the off season for our pride.
Right.
And then they go back to Brooklyn, and that's it.
Yeah, I can see it happening. I think it's going to be a 5-game series. That's my prediction. Mm-hmm. I think we win game 3. Game 4 is close. But all the other games are kind of going to be like those 15-point, 20-point losses where we didn't necessarily get beaten down, but it's like, you know, like I said, 3 or 4-point losses each quarter turns into a 20-point loss. So
yeah, I just want them to show me something. And if they give me a couple wins, or even one win, then I'm feeling better than I am right now.
But, I mean, game one is going to be where it starts. And Shams actually just reported that Robert Williams is expected to play.
Awesome.
But, okay. I mean, like we've been talking about, if it's turf toe. So even if he plays, if he's not 100% healthy, it doesn't matter.
It's still a better option than Tristan Thompson in this matchup, I think.
It could be, but then it could also turn into what we saw in the Wizards game when he got put back in. And he just looked like not...
He wasn't putting weight on
Not athletic, not explosive, and just ultimately got hurt again. So I don't want that to happen, but I'm glad he is at least available. So
yeah, same. Same. That's good news. At least maybe not 20-point blowouts.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that should be everybody's hope for this series. Like, if we can hang our hats on one thing, it's that we did not get beaten down each game.
Yeah, don't get embarrassed. I feel like I've been reduced to this.
We can't go out like Philly. No, I'm just kidding. So we talked about a lot today about, you know, the Celtics-Nets series that's coming up. We're going to have to lock up and honestly compete with them offensively. But, you know, like we said, it probably will not end well for the Celtics. So with that, we're going to leave it there. Hopefully, we see a different outcome. But it was great having you on the show, Jeff.
Thank you.
And if you could always like, subscribe, repost, give us a 5-star rating. We love to hear everybody's reviews. We read every single one of them. Go Celtics. Have a good one, everyone.